The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And we said that our goal for the series was that we wanted to listen to God's voice in everything that we do. Whether it's small, whether it's large, we want to begin to hear God in every single thing that we do. I know for myself, and maybe you can relate, I have a tendency to talk to God in the big things, but leave him out of the smaller things because I feel like I can go it on my own. Anybody? You can talk back to me. So there's certain things that I can go to Redbox and pick out the movie I want. Anybody else? I know it seems small, right? But God wants to spend time with us all the time. And so sometimes if you go into Redbox, you say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to get this movie. Boom, there it is, because I want to communicate with God in everything that I do. I know it seems small, but God is constantly talking. He's constantly talking to you, but the frequency of our life has tuned him out in many ways. Here's the thing. Our goal is we want to, I'm already getting passionate. I told you I was going to get loud. Our goal is that we want to be able to hear God in every single thing that we do. All throughout Scripture, you find, particularly in the Old Testament, you find people like Moses referring to the people of Israel, the Lord tells us now, or they'll go to some other place. David will say, and the Lord says, and it was like they were talking to him all the time, whether it was he was fighting Goliath, and you say, the Lord is standing before you today, and he's going to knock you out, or whether it's Daniel in the lion's den yelling up, the Lord is going to deliver me. No matter what phase of life that we're in, God is always talking. The problem is, you and I have a listening problem. God is talking all the time, but our listening habits are below what he would desire and has designed for us. So our goal is that we want to listen to God in everything that we do. So last week, I just gave four things that can impact our frequency in hearing God's voice. The first thing was pollution. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he gives them this parable in Luke chapter 8. And he says that a sower goes out, he sows, and it lands on hard ground. The devil comes and he snatches it away, just like that. We related it to, I'm going to preach to you today. You're going to leave excited. You're going to leave challenged. You're going to go reach for your car door. And by the time you get to your car door, every part of your life is going to come back into your focus. It's the enemy going, don't forget you got to wash them clothes when you get home. You know you got to cook people coming over at 6. He uses the craziest things to steal the word out of your life. You leave here excited like, yes, I'm going to hear God clearly. And the enemy's like, no, you're not. By the time you get to the car, I got something for you. And so many a times in our life, it's the pollution. But we define the pollution not just as the enemy just coming and taking it. We define it as there are things in our life, we called it unrepentant sin. Things that we know we do wrong. We choose to do them. And God's like, I cannot talk to you and you won't be able to hear me because you haven't asked for forgiveness. Here's the thing. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, he took all of your sins now and forever. The only thing he asks is that you ask for forgiveness. It's easy. You go, Lord God, I'm so sorry. I received your forgiveness. And the Bible says he remembers it no more. Meanwhile, you and I are carrying in the sin every single day. And what happens is the initial sin that we don't repent of becomes a habit. And then a habit becomes a weight. And then the weight becomes an addiction, and the addiction is hard to break. But at the beginning, if we can deal with the pollution right away, it doesn't become a frequency blocker. The second thing that we said was that we have distractions. Jesus said, hey, you throw it on the ground. The devil comes. He said, the second one is, I throw the word out, and it falls in some ground, and the ground has some rocks in it. And the rocks come and smother it away. And we said that there are things in our life that can be good for us, but can distract us from hearing God's voice. I told myself last week, y'all, if you weren't here, I'm so sorry. I told the church last week that when I woke up, I was not thinking about you all. I was thinking about the Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather fight. Most pastors were praying, not me. I needed to check ESPN. This week is different. There was no fight. No. I was zeroed in for you. But distractions can come in the form of our technology. I literally told on myself last week, made myself extremely vulnerable. I have a tendency to be in my quiet time talking to God, and I will read every email you send me, tweet, whatever it is, I will be all up in it. And I can go to God, and I can be, God, I'm going to give you this hard 15 minutes. Well, 3 hours later, I can get back to my quiet time with God because I've already read all my emails, checked all the scores, and it's distracted me. There are some things that are good, but they can be distracting. You and I have to find a certain place, a certain time that's only for God. And God says, I'm talking. You distracted. So we're either in the first category where, hey, church was amazing. Get to your car. Oh, my gosh, I got to make sure I do this. Or maybe you're like, that's not me, Damon. But you're at home. You're like, God, I'm waking up this morning. I'm giving you my time. And the kids go crazy. You're like, come on. Hurry up and get your stuff on. You know. And the next thing you know, you haven't given God your time. Distractions. Or what about this one? God, I enjoy my quiet time with you as I'm riding to work. You go outside, the car won't start. Distractions. The enemy will use whatever he can to distract you, and then you spend more time trying to get your car started. I had to get my car started this morning. I couldn't get it started. Distractions. Distractions. The third thing Jesus said was, hey, you throw it, you grab hold of it, you come back to church the next week, you download the podcast, you got a Bible study, everybody see you at church, and they say, brother, sister, dude, homeboy, homegirl, they rolling with Jesus. If I can be like them, I know he'll answer my prayer. And Jesus says, you receive the word, you go for a little while, you listen to the sermons. And then he says, the cares of life that you're chasing, cut the throat of the word. He says, it falls on thorns. And he said, you aren't maturing as much as you think. He says, you receive the word, you look the part, podcast, I'm listening to my worship, but you're chasing the dollar. You're chasing the dream. You get the negative doctor's report, and you say, God, what are you doing? You aren't talking to me. I heard the message. Life comes and it starts to suck away all that you thought was in you. Because the enemy was just sitting back like, oh, they got over the first hump. Okay, they able to get in their car. Okay. They not focused on that. They letting the word of God meditate inside of their heart. I'm going to throw the second one at them. Oh, distraction. They not easily distracted. Okay. So he says, hold up, hell. Hold up. Back up. Wait. Reassemble. Wait 3 weeks. Let them come to City Place 3 weeks. Wait. Says, watch it. Wait now. This is the enemy. This is how he is. Hit him with this right here. Unbelief. Hit him with that. Hit him with God not going to answer their prayer. Hurry up. Hit him with it. And then we find ourselves going, God, are you talking to me? God, are you going to answer my prayer? I've been tithing. When's the increase coming on my job? I've been serving at the church, and I'm still tired. I'm giving. I'm serving all the time at the church. I'm serving all the time. I ain't got no time for my family. Maturity. The word that you've been hearing, you've been distracted. I've been talking to you about all of the things that you're talking to me about, but you're not listening. It's crazy that you and I can be in church, looked apart, and he still goes, you're not quite mature yet. I know it's tough to think that we've arrived because I grew up in church. I'm telling you, I grew up in church, but I really didn't start maturing until I was 18. And I said this, I said, God, if you're real, I don't want anybody else's story. You need to talk to me. You have to have that moment with God. Because it's in that moment that you decide if you're going all in. Which leads us to the final piece from last week. Your heart has to constantly, your life has to be in a constant state of preparation. You have to be going after God all the time. You have to be all in. You cannot give him surface when the God of the universe has given you everything in his son. He held nothing back by giving you Jesus. He didn't say, I'm just going to give him a couple of angels and the angels will come. No, no, no. He said, my very best I'm giving to them. I'm not holding anything back, but you and I do. You and I do. And he's talking. He's going, I got all this stuff for you. I got everything. And it's like this. You're like, God, are you talking to me? But the prepared heart, the Bible says, that the soil of the word, God's talking, it's dropped in the good soil. They grab hold of it, and they live it out. And we shared a story of one of the people on our team. Her name is Mary, and we talked about her journey from moving to North Carolina to here, and her faith struggle over, like, I don't know if God's in this. I'm not seeing anything. He's not opening up doors for a job. And then he opened up a door for a job. She got 9 offers in 1 phone call. Hello. And we talked about how the season of her life started. The enemy tried to take the word, and then she went for a little while, and then the cares and the distractions started to distract her. She began to mature. She stayed connected to small groups and with leaders on our team. And now she's at a place where the word of God goes inside of her, and she goes, God's for me. And so we laid that as our foundation, and we just ended with, well, Damon, I hear you, but how do I prepare to hear God's voice? And we said this. We said we got to repent, which means to change direction. We refocus, which says, God, I'm looking unto you. The Bible says that we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He starts it and he finishes our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and the shame so that you and I can have relationship and hear him clear. So we refocus, and then the third thing is we said, let's just let the revival of my walk with God start right now. Let's not delay. If I'm going to go all in, I'm going in right now. Sometimes you got to jump in the deep end. My son is 6 years old, and we kept him in the shallow end. He's asking now if he can jump in the deep end. He doesn't swim in the shallow end anymore because he can swim. But he had to be taught. Once he was taught, he didn't stay in the shallow end. As you're learning and you're growing in God, you have to jump in the deep end because there are depths that you've never been. He's not going to always swim in an 8-foot deep pool. He's going to want to swim in a lake, an ocean. I have no clue. But he's going to want to continue to go deeper because he's already experienced one level and he doesn't want to be contained there. You shouldn't either. God has so much more that you and I literally will never grasp the full height, depth, the Bible says, of who he is. But there's still so much more. And so we're talking about the frequency of our life, which brings me to, if God is talking and I need to focus on him and listen to him in everything that I do, I think it's important to know the why, the what, and the how God speaks. Why is he talking to me? Anybody ever wonder, why is he talking? What is he trying to say and how will he do it? Now, just so you know, I may not get through all of this today. Because I want you to love the church. Otherwise, we'd be here for 2 hours. And we declare we're not having that sort of service. I grew up in that type of church. I was never going back. So here's the thing. We have to think through the fact that God has a purpose. Everything that God does begins with his why. It's the same thing for you in our life. You and I have a why. We have a purpose. If we don't find that, it's hard for us to become who God created us to be. It's the same thing with God. He speaks to you for a reason. He has skill. God is not some sort of just spiritual being who doesn't have a strategic plan. He's very detailed. He's very detailed. Watch now. If you go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you'll find the amazing aspects of God. He speaks light, water, fish, heaven, earth, day, night, man, bring out the blueprint. Okay, form them in our image, give them shape, give them design. What we're going to do is we're going to breathe into them the very breath of ourselves, and they are going to walk in the dominion and the power that we have. So you ready? Design them, and says that he took the dust of the ground, formed you, and then he says he breathed into himself the very life of himself. God is very strategic. He looks and says, light, day, water, man, design, bring out the blueprint. So God has a why to everything that he does. That's the reason why he's always speaking. Y'all all right? So here's the first reason that God speaks. God speaks because, most importantly, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to know you. Even though he knows you, he wants you to approach him as if he doesn't know you. The reason why is because it says that he's dad, he's father, he's Lord, but there's a design and a conversation that he wants to have with you. He wants to know you as if you don't know that he already knows you. Which means there are certain things that when you have friendships, you got to get mad with each other. You got to love each other. You got to talk to each other. You got to hang out. We going to the movies. Yesterday, we hung out with some friends, and we went to Disney. And we spent all of our money. I'm going to ask you for something to put in the offering later. We gave our offerings to Disney. Disney will charge you for everything. One person, no lie, he was like, hey, how are you? I'm like, good to see you. He goes, that'll be $3 for my smile. You're ripping me off, man. Exodus 33 says this. It says, the Lord will speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. Have you ever been that close to God? Where he goes, come here. I got something to tell you. Everybody else can't listen. Seriously, look, I'm about to deliver all of my people, and you're going to be the one that's going to do it. I can't tell that out loud. He said that he would speak to Moses face to face. Y'all all right? John chapter 15, verse 15 says this, no longer do I call you servants, for servants don't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I heard from my father, I told you. God is dropping dimes, wisdom, knowledge to Jesus. And Jesus is like, hey, when you a servant, you just busy. Huh? Hey, y'all, we got to set up everything. Get the sound ready. People are coming. People come. He says, when you're a friend, you go, Jesus, how's everything going? How's your family? Oh, man, my dad. This is what he's thinking, right? My dad is feeling like, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody. And that I should have 12 dudes that'll change the world when I die on the cross. You guys are going to be the 12. I'm going to die. It's going to be painful for you to watch. If I don't do it, it's just going to fall on me. But when I die, you 12 are going to shake all of the earth. And thousands of years later, there's going to be a church in Orlando, Florida. That's going to see people won for the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. I'm glad you asked. See, Jesus says that there's a place where you move from just being the busy to being the one who goes, what you got to tell me today? Face to face. That's the first reason why he's talking. The second reason why Jesus is talking is because he does want us to get from A to B. He wants to lead us. He wants us to go from no purpose to his purpose, from being broken to being healed to living the dream and being a dream giver, to being in need to meeting a need. God has you here to fulfill his purpose. You are a funnel. He will fill you to overflow, not so that you can just pass it on to your family, but so that you can grab somebody else. Come here, come here, come here. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs. It says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. Joshua chapter 6, verse 2 says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of your men. You should go around once, and you're going to do this for 6 days. God says, here, let me give you the detail of what I'm thinking about. I've given you the city. I want you to know my secret. I'm not telling that to the enemy. I'm only telling it to you because you're close to me. He says, now listen, here's what I want you to do because this is the way I'm thinking. And since you're listening, you can walk around this wall 6 days. Do you know what's crazy about the story of Jericho? Everyone probably sang the song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Y'all know the song? And the walls came falling down. Do you know that Jericho was only 6 acres? Jericho was only 6 acres. And God gave them a strategy of what in the natural they probably thought they could do on their own. And he gave them specifics because the walls were high. But the city was only 6 acres. So when he gave them the march around, he gave them something that was in their power, but they needed his. 6 acres is this property. I don't know exact, but if you look, if you can just get an imagery, we've got the school, then we got the playground. Imagine this as being 6 acres. And he says, watch the design. You're going to walk around. You're going to go 6 days. You're going to do it one time. But I just want you to know, I've already given it to you. See, if you and I would lean into God, he's promised your healing. He's promised your dreams to come true. You just have to lean in so that you can know exactly how he wants to do it. Here's another reason why. Is God speaks to us because he wants to change our view. You and I, as we've grown up, everything that's on the inside of us has come, watch now, from either your personal experience or from somebody else. Everything that you started off as a core belief came from your experience or something somebody told you. God's like, that's where I need to start. I've got to change your perspective. That's the reason why I'm talking, is because you are thinking in one direction, but that's not how I think. Watch this. This is what he says in Isaiah. He says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. I need to change your view. So I want to be in relationship with you. I'm trying to lead you, but I'm also trying to change your thinking. Even at the level of success you're at, you're not thinking the way I am. That's crazy. It's crazy to think that all of the amazing thing God's going, I want to take you a little bit higher. I got a little bit more for you. Or when you feel like you're about to throw in a towel, he's like, don't. I haven't given up on you yet. I need to tell you, but you got to lean in. So if that is the why, he wants to do it. He wants to be in relationship with me. He wants to lead me. He wants to change my perspective. Then what is he really trying to say? I mean, because he is talking, but what sort of chatter does he have? I know it sounds a little slang, but that's just kind of how I talk to Jesus. I'm like, Lord, if you're talking, you need to say something clear. So what is he trying to say? The first thing is he wants to confirm some things in your life. He wants to confirm that what he's promised you, that's who he is. That's what he's going to do. So when God is talking to you, he's going to confirm it. He is going to confirm that the thing that you're dreaming about, the thing that you're praying about, he wants to do it. He wants to keep his promise sure for you. He wants you to know that if he says it, he will do it. So he will confirm and he will both encourage you at the same time. A familiar passage of scripture that we're going to get ready to end our service with is Psalms 23. Many people pray it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. People use that prayer, but David actually has found a strategy because he's been communicating with God and he's found God to be faithful to what he says. This is what David says in Psalms 23. He says, God will confirm and both encourage. That's the reason, and that's what he's saying. He says, look, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He said he'd give me everything. He's done it. He said he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. David says, where I am, no matter where I am, I have everything I need. I am never lacking. The only way you can say that is if you have matured, because it's not always perfect. My life won't always be perfect, but I can have everything I need. That's crazy to think, because I used to have $52,000 of college debt. Used to. Not anymore. When I was in it, I grabbed hold of what he promised me. That debt is not something that he's promised. So I didn't let that go until it hit zero. Notice how that rhymed? That was a Jesse Jackson. Here we go. Watch. He says, I have everything that I need. He says, now look in verse 3. He says, now he is constantly encouraging me. He is constantly encouraging me, constantly talking. And I'm listening. God will renew your strength because he's constantly talking. I'm for you, 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 I'm for you. But if we aren't listening, we don't know that he is. So God will confirm. Joshua 29:11 says this. He says, I will show up and take care of you as I promised. Second thing is that he wants to lead you. I said that earlier. It's also part of his what he's saying. He wants to lead you and he wants to direct you. David goes on. We read it. He said, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He guides me along right paths. God, what sort of decision should I make? If you let me lead, I'll lead you in the right path. It's crazy to think that I can make, listen, a God decision all the time. I know what you're thinking. No, I can't. David says right here, he guides me along right paths. You don't say that unless God does it, unless he confirms it and encourages you. Can you think this? Now watch now. There is a place in God where you can make consistently right decisions. And I know it seems beyond our wildest imagination, but if I'm listening to God, doesn't mean I'm not going to make mistakes. But man, he'll be involved. So he is leading us, he's directing us, and David says, he leads me beside places of peace. Stresses, and listen, I have a tendency sometimes to get worried about the little things. I was talking to my wife the other day, and I'm just like, oh, I'm yelling, I'm like, oh! And I just said, the Lord has been encouraging me to just stop. Stop looking at the stuff that stresses me out. But it has to be done, it has to be done. Stop. Looking at the stuff that stresses you out. But you know I got to get this done. I got to do this. Stop looking at the stuff that stresses you out and listen to me. I'll give you the path. I'll handle everything and give you everything you need. If you focus on the goal of listening to everything I say. Y'all good? I told you I'm going to be animated, but we're going to teach you. Luke chapter 2, 27 says this. It says, and that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby to the Lord, that which was required, there was a guy who had been just kind of sitting and waiting for the promise of Jesus. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord led him to the place where Jesus was. Can I tell you that God wants to lead you to the place where you're in constant relationship, being able to hear what God's saying? The only way we're going to do that is if we can lean in and go, you're talking, and I want to listen. Worship team, you can come on up. Write this down if you're taking notes. He cautions you, and he convicts. This is probably the tough part, the part that we don't want from the Lord. This is the part where he says, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. And we go, I don't know if that's God. It's the thing we watch. It's the thing we say. It's the relationships we're in. It's the choices we're making. And you get that feeling of, I don't know if I should do this. It's him going, don't do it. Don't do it. No, wait. Don't do it. This is what David says. He says, even when I walk through the darkest of valleys, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort. Here's the thing. The protection of God can also be the caution and the part that goes, oh, that hurt. The staff that David was talking about. When you are a sheep, if you look at the analogy, they don't just go, hey, little sheepy, hey, come here. When they grab the rod, they pull it out with force, and it hits the sheep to pull it back to the shepherd. So when God reaches for you, it will hurt sometimes. But the only reason why is because he's trying to protect you and pull you back. So when you're doing something that's outside of his purpose and his plan, oh, what's up with that? It's because his rod and his staff. Come on, come here. Stop fighting. Come back. He's pulling you closer because he's like, listen, pollution, distractions, immaturity. Come on. Get back here. So the reason why is he wants a relationship, he wants to lead you, he wants you to direct. But as he's talking, he's going, I'm going to tell you some things that you're not doing right. Or I'm going to cost you, don't make that decision, don't buy the house. Don't buy the house, the water heater's broken. No, don't get in that relationship. You know you're in church, you're grabbing hold of the word, they're not. Don't get linked up to them. Wrong relationship. No, I know you want to pull them in, but right now is not the season. Now, no. I know God delivered you from this addiction, and you want to go back and win everybody. Let's mature you first. Let's mature you first so that when you walk in, you change the atmosphere, and the atmosphere doesn't change you. Get back here. Get back here. Get back here. Get back here. He will caution you because he wants to protect you. Acts 16 says this. Now when they had gone through the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach. And then they went to another place, and the Spirit of God did not prevent them. Did not allow them to, because he just said, wait a second, not now. Not now. I know you want to do this, but not right now. See, when you and I get close to God, we can hear him say, go there, do that. Yeah. Go there. Do that. And then we can also hear him say, not now. Have you ever been in a place where you've made the decision and it seemed like the season lasted forever? And then you're in the middle of the season and you feel like I should stop the season, and you go, I don't know how. I'm already in. He's still talking. Hey, come on. It's never too late to go, you know what? I want to hear you. I might lose out on this. The decision I made over here was not what the Lord had. But I'm listening in this season because the noise can block everything that he's trying to say, and I want to hear him. Here's the final thing. When God's talking, God is whispering vision to you and dreams. The reason why your dreams seem beyond you is because they're his. If you can do it on your own, you won't need him. So he's constantly telling you things that are beyond your scope. The reason why is because he wants to continue the relationship. So he tells you things like you're going to be a business owner, or like Moses. Hey, Moses, you're going to literally take a million people out. And you're going, God, what's going on? He's like, keep coming. Spend time with me. Let me lead you. I'm trying to confirm some things. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm directing you. Wait, don't do it. So God is whispering dreams and visions to you. This is what the Bible says. It says that David says in Psalms 23, says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. David is saying, God, everything that I'm doing is beyond my wildest dreams. He says, everything that I'm seeing you do is overflowing to where I can't contain. God wants to give you dreams that you cannot contain. Dreams that you cannot hold on to. He wants to speak things to you where you look and you go, God, you've chosen me to do this? I'm blown away. David says, when I look at everything that you've done, you took a shepherd boy and made him a king. I'm sitting at a table and everybody who was against me is looking at me. They're looking at me, and all you did was you placed the table and you said, doubt, take a look. Sickness, take a look. Lack, take a look. Divorce, take a look. Stress in marriage, take a look. Strife in my home, take a look. He said, as I continue to listen to you, you prepared a table of everything that once was fighting against me. And you allowed those things to see me in victory. To where now I look and I go, God, you're overflowing me with my peace, with my joy, with my influence, with my dreams. You set a table before me where the dreams are beyond my wildest expectation and everything that I once battled. Yes, I walked into church and the word of God came. I got to the car and they took it away. Yes, the second week I was excited, but then I got distracted. Now this time, distraction is sitting at the table. Now, God, you're telling me that I was once immature, but now when I come into your presence, you give me peace. You're leading me. You're guiding me. And it's all at the table. It's all at the table. So I can hear you clearly. I can want you more. I can desire you more. Can I tell you? Bring it down. Watch. When you lean in, he's constantly talking. He's constantly talking. Constantly talking, but listen, he whispers dreams. He whispers dreams. David says, everything that I faced, everything that once distracted me from your presence, everything that took your attention is now watching me have an amazing relationship with you. Everything that I didn't think I would have enough for. I'm serving at the church. I wanted to throw in the towel. I've got more. My marriage, when it was jacked up, we're in love 50 years deep now. My money ain't acting funny. Thank you, Lord. I have more because I chose to allow you to lead me. I'm listening to you. What are you saying? I'm listening. You anoint me, you separate me. I have so much more. I have so much more. I'm not going to just sit back. Job 33 says this, for God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night. When deep sleep falls on people as they lay in their bed, he speaks again and again. People don't recognize it, but he speaks again and again. People may not discover it, but he speaks again and again. When you're head at the pillows, he starts talking. Hey, guess what I got for you? Here comes another one. Here comes another dream. When you're sleeping, I speak again and again and again. I'm talking. I'm always talking. Acts chapter 2 says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. No one will be missed. You in this building, God wants to talk to you. He's talking to you right now. On all people, your sons, your daughters, even your little ones. Look at your kids and go, God's going to talk to you tonight. Let's pray. God's going to talk to you tonight. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray for the food. Talk to Jesus while you eat. Talk to Jesus while you eat. Because it says even your sons and your daughters, your young men will dream, will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Ladies, that's you too. So what is my response? Will you stand to your feet? Will you stand to your feet? What is my response? My response is I have to get positioned to hear and to follow. David says this. He says, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord. I will live in the place where God is. I will live in the place where God is talking forever. I'm all in. I'm maturing in this area. Nothing's going to distract me. I acknowledge that you've been moving on my behalf. I'm committed to you. I will not go anywhere. You're going to receive my best. I'm not holding anything back. I'm positioning myself every single day in your house, in your presence. I'm not holding anything back. As long as I live, you're going to have my life. I can hear David say, it's everything and nothing less. Everything and nothing less from my side, as long as it's everything and nothing less from your side. Do we have a deal? I won't hold anything back if you don't keep any secrets from me. I need to know if I'm going through this, that you're going to bring me out. No secrets, because I won't keep anything from you. I will tell you when I'm worried. I will tell you when I'm concerned. I'm going to tell you when I don't even believe you sometimes. But you don't hold anything back from me. If I go through this and I give you everything, don't hold anything back. Don't hold anything back from me, because I'm going all in. I can hear David just say.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.